Welcome back to Nate Timm's Lay of the Land. And our guest this evening is Jerry Apps. And Jerry just made the point about how the population actually in production agriculture has really had a marked decline from the 19th century through the 20th century to the 21st century, down to the point where it's less than 2% of the population that's directly involved in production agriculture. And the consequences of that are, of course, changes in the vitality of rural communities as well. And interesting enough, we will have a show coming up next week where we'll be talking about changes that have gone on in small town Wisconsin over the past number of years and how that's played out. And I think you'll all enjoy a deeper look at that. And of course, we have thousands of small communities around Wisconsin that have experienced a transition through the years. So, Jerry, one of the things that maybe should talk about is how the values and beliefs associated with agriculture have changed from the 1800s and World War II to a contemporary era. What would you have to say about that?
Sure. First, I would say that it was right after World War II, 1945-46, as we began to see these tremendous changes, because tractors came in and electricity came along, and the beliefs that at that time, and I would say that that would be true of my dad on the farm in the 30s and 40s when I was growing up, and the beliefs are something like this. Farming is a way of life. And you've probably heard that. Farming is a way of life.
Absolutely.
Hard work has its rewards. Do the best you can with what you've got. And this one, if you take care of the land, it will take care of you. And just think about that one for a moment. If you take care of the land, it will take care of you. Now, this may sound harsh, but here's how I think about the, not all of the farmers today by a long shot, but the a fairly large number of commercial farmers today have come to believe that bigger is better. To succeed, farming must follow an industrial model. A farm is similar to a factory where there are inputs and outputs. Economic conditions are more important than environmental ones. Let me say that again. Economic conditions are more important than environmental ones. And the last one I would mention, you could have many more. The value of land is purely economic. There are no other values associated with land. Now, that may sound a little harsh, and it certainly doesn't fit all farmers today by a long shot. Doesn't fit the organic farmer, doesn't fit the sustainable agriculture, and so on. But that's a fantastic conflict, especially the bigger is better idea. I think there was, during the 50s and 60s, especially, the mantra was, unless you got bigger, you're not going to make it. And there's some bit of truth to that. But there also is a growing tendency today for forward-looking agriculturists to think about farming is more than just getting bigger. There's more to it than that. So I could say a lot more about that, but I'll stop and see what reaction you might have or our listeners might have.
At this point, we want to also invite our callers to come in. Our call-in number is 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. So please call in if you have a question or a comment, and We'd love to hear what you have to say about the subjects we're talking about. The whole, I've often said, having grown up like you as a part of this style of agriculture that was more than just about producing commodities, it was about a way of life, that the most valuable crop that farms of that era produced was its children. And
exactly,
we can cite
That's right.
numerous examples of people of our generation, Jerry, who grew up on those farms, who went on and did all kinds of things, and took with them that value base and basket of skills that they learned as children on the farm. And it was, regardless of whether you were male or female, we had one of our guests, Gloria Hochstein, on pointing out very much how that had influenced her as a woman, her experience growing up on a farm. So it was a broad swath of the population. And because, as you pointed out, Jerry, there was a lot of people on the land at that time, it had a broad impact on the culture because you had a lot of people being shaped by those circumstances. So when people do some naysaying about contemporary life, one of the sources of education and shaping of people's background has been deleted. Go ahead, Jerry.
I just want to add one little statistic, which I think is kind of fascinating. Being the dairy state that we are since 1910, in 1930, we had 125,000 dairy farms. 125,000 dairy farms in 1930. In 2021, as of August 1, we had 6,742. Just think of that. Think of that tremendous drop-off in the number of dairy farms. And the average herd size in 1930 was probably between 15 and 20 cows. We milked them by hand. The average herd size in 2021 is 190 cows. And as we both know, there are a goodly number of dairy herds that are greater than 4,000 or 5,000 cows today. I would just add that little dimension, because the farming experience today is a different one for the kids growing up, especially on these mega industrial size farms. It's just a different experience. And I would also throw in the one-room school experience. And as you mentioned, people are somewhat amazed at what happened to kids who grew up on farms. And I especially had heard often, as a product of a one-room school myself, that you guys, you and your classmates, in fact, I heard a researcher say to us one time, you're never going to amount to anything. You're probably all going to grow up to be social misfits. This researcher said to us at the time that our little country school was closing. How wrong this guy was. He just didn't get it.
Well, I see we've got a caller coming in. I don't know if he's ready to ask a question yet, but yeah, there's a whole cultural experience behind our generation that is part of that rural culture and the diversified agricultural style that was prevalent during the era you and I are talking about, prior to World War II and up to perhaps the 70s, was
it
a whole different style.
In the 50s and 60s, but again, in the 30s, we had milk cows, we had hogs, we had chickens, we grew crops for animal feed. And now it's many farmers are now single product farmers. They're the dairy farmer, or they're a hog farmer, or they're a chicken farmer, or soybean farmer, and so on. And that's a very different style of agriculture than the diversified farming that both of us knew.
Yep, that's exactly right. and the prevalence of animals on the farm, kids being exposed to animals, like you said, all the way from chickens and all the way up, chickens, sheep, goats, pigs, cows, all of those animals were in the mix of many of the farms across the state of Wisconsin. So the children who grew up were acquainted with all of those animals, and then go ahead with the crops.
And Nathan, and the crops were rotated. You didn't grow corn for 10 years in a row, or soybeans in 10 years in a row. But you rotated the crops from pasture crops, hay crops, to oats, corn, and so on. And I'm coming back now to this belief of the importance of taking care of the land. That's one way you take care of the land, is to diversify agriculture, to diversify farming.
Yes, what we're really talking about is the agriculture of the post-World War II era was a much more sustainable form of agriculture in terms of being able to not permanently damage the land in many ways. Of course, some of the things that had to be learned during that era were relating to the soil conservation. That's probably one of the areas that era wasn't doing such a good job on. But we can talk about that even going into our next segment. What do you think, Jerry?
Well, so, I don't want to make it sound like all of the farmers in the 30s and 40s were doing everything first rate, and they weren't. Some of the things that were done were not that good. And so, and if you had a hilly farm and you farmed up and down the hill, well, you're going to, and you're growing row crops like corn, you're going to encourage washing. And soil conservation, going back to the 30s, with the groups like the Civilian Conservation Corps. I'll tell you a little story. My father-in-law.
We're going to go away in a second here, Jerry. So hold that until we come back.
Come back with.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a story when we come back.
Thank you very much. So we'll see you all in a few minutes. Come on back to Lay of the Land.